legends past, down through generations, to haunted locations that hold a ghostly past. Come one, come all, come finders and seekers. Hear the creepy side of Eva.
Welcome to The Creepy Side of NEPA. I'm Dan Kozlowski.
And I'm Nora Herchik. Before we get into this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow us, depending on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us right now.
Tonight's guest is Josh Balls. Josh is a former musician, member of Motionless in White, and also a local entrepreneur who owns a few interesting local businesses, like the Strange and Unusual Oddities Parlor, located in Kingston. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate, being involved in your podcast.
We love to have you. I know, like, you were a former musician. Like, how did you get started with the whole strange thing? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I mean, since I was a younger kid, I mean, I've always, you know, my father listened to heavier music and weird music and things like that. And that kind of got me stemmed into, you know, being in the band when I started touring and being in the band when I was 16 years old. And, you know, it kind of just dove into the liking of, you know, all things a little darker, like skulls and bats and things like the things you start with when you're a teenager and you're an angsty teenager. So, I just started touring and I started getting into those things. And while I was on tour, actually, I would go to these because we would be playing for an hour at night, but we'd be touring for, you know, obviously be out on the road for 24 hours a day and, you know, 7 days a week. So to fill up my time, I would always go into these weird stores and antique stores and try to find like the weirdest things I could in those local shops. So it kind of stemmed my interest for all things weird.
Sort of took on from there and then sort of gained a collection of this creepy stuff. Is that how you opened up the Strange and Unusual?
Yeah, I actually had an entire, like I used to live in this house and I had a garage and I would go out in estate sale and go to these antique stores and go on tour and come back and have all this weird stuff. And at some point I just had a pile of stuff and I was like, what do I do with this stuff? And I'm like, you know, I looked up to stores like Obscura in New York City and Love to Death in San Francisco, which both did not make it through the pandemic, unfortunately. But and I was like, you know what? I want to bring something, you know, weird and strange to Pennsylvania, to Kingston, you know, to Northeast Pennsylvania. And everybody thought I was crazy, but I was like, you know what? I think, our area deserves something weird and curiosity based. And, you know, and that's how it all kind of started. It was just a bunch of crap that I had in a garage stemmed to the collection I have today, not only personally, but in the store as well.
So for people that might not be familiar, we have people that aren't necessarily from the Northeastern Pennsylvania area. Can you kind of describe to us some of the items that you do have in the store?
Yeah, I mean, we have everything from coffin-shaped bath bombs to Victorian furniture, but also we have things like human skeletons and human skulls and animal skulls and old funerary items like I have a casket in there and some old post-mortem photos. So I kind of grow the spectrum of, you know, hey, we have bath bombs and bath sprays that are like cool themed but are really done and handmade, to the weirdest stuff you can imagine, like human skulls and things like that. So we try to pique everybody's interest.
Ever had any of the items in the store that you think or either know have had some sort of like paranormal connection to them at all? Have you guys experienced
Yes.
weird things in the store?
Always. It's the worst. So recently we actually have this baby casket in the store right now that's been like bothering not only all the employees, but the things. And like my ceiling fell down the other day in the store. I'm actually going to fix it now, but the ceiling fell down and then like there was a picture that fell off the wall. And there was candlesticks that were on a flat shelf that we came in the next day, candlesticks and a necklace holder that were on the floor. And it's been happening ever since we got this casket, this baby casket. So, you know, we actually just use some Palo Santo, some sage, you know, clear the energy and things like that. But that's one instance. I remember years ago, the first one that really, there's two that really bothered me when we first started the store. There was this lady used to come in all the time and be like, you know, there's a presence of a young boy walking around the back of your store. And it would always like, you know, I always felt like when I walked past the back half of my old location, that there was always this like chill. And she's like, no, he doesn't mean harm. He doesn't mean anything. He just wants to, he's very interested in the things here. And I was like, okay. And then another a lady that came in like weeks later, she's like, do you know you have this? And I was like, she said, I was like, please don't say a little boy. And she's like, yeah, this energy of a little boy. And I was like, oh man. I was like, she's like, again, he's not negative. No negativity. He just wants to be here. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So he was there for a while and kind of dissipated throughout time. But there was also this photo that we had of a man and a woman, older, probably late 1800s, chalk painted portrait of a husband and a wife. And the second we got that, I was sitting at the front desk with an old employee, and all you smell is this like heavy cologne blow past us. And then the front door blew wide open, and it was not, there was no wind out that day. Our actual door is like, it's not flush against, it wasn't flush against the main road. It was like actually in. So it was, we both just looked at each other and we like, and then everything under around that photo would always flicker. And I actually ended up selling that to a WWE wrestler. Her name was Foxy. She was like, do you have anything weird and haunted? I was like, yes, please take this. I actually boxed and sent it to Jacksonville, where she lived in Florida. And I was like, see you later.
Do you ever get creeped out sort of, or, you know, scared of any of these things? Or are you just kind of like, hey, yeah, you know, do your thing. As long as you're not hurting anybody, it's fine.
Yeah, I kind of accept it. It's just one of those things where I dug my grave at this point. You know, I'm getting things from, you know, people who have passed away, or, you know, like I have, you know, obviously human skulls and things like that. And, you know, I don't let anything kind of, I let it just exist around me. And I think it respects that fact. And I bought a house that's about 120 years old, over the last, like, last year. And there's a lot of like heaviness to the house, but I think it accepts me because I was drawn to the house. I actually rented the house 7 or 8 years ago, and all the beds would shake when I lived there with a few friends, and all the beds would shake, and there'd be knocking at the door, shadows walking across the halls, and nothing ever bothered me.
So it's almost like business as usual at this point.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't really bother me. Nothing really like makes me uncomfortable. I know that it exists. So I think that it just like it understands that it lives around me, and which is really cool. I think that's a great thing. And, you know, there's times where I definitely feel a presence, but I go, okay, you're here.
When you mentioned the little boy a few stories ago, did you ever like get the backstory on him? Do you know if he was related to like an item in your store, or was it something to do with the property?
I think it was involved with an item, because like I said, it kind of just came out of nowhere and then it went out of nowhere. But it's hard to, when we have those so many things, it's really tough to pencil it in of which it is. And when certain things go, and it's, I think it's a lot of the items and not so much the spaces. I mean, obviously the space that I live in, my house, is definitely the space, but the store, I think it's, I believe it's always items. We try to cleanse things when they come in, but if you're not in like a clear mind when you're cleansing things as well, it doesn't really react well to it. So, you know, like I said, it's always, I think it's the items in the store, because like I said, we do bring a lot of outside energy into the store. You know, we have, you know, everybody in the store has connections to other energies, and they're, you know, constantly bouncing out in and out of the store, me as well. So, you know, it's definitely, I think it's the items that it was connected to, because it just literally like, you know, it just stopped. I don't remember it stopping. I don't know if it's because I moved and it didn't come with an item with us, or it just came and went out of nowhere.
Now, when you get new items in, you just mentioned you had to cleanse them. What is the process of cleansing a new item?
We kind of just put it in, like, we have a back of our warehouse, and we just do a little, almost like a little Palo Santo ritual, where it's just, you know, just as you would cleanse anything else, just a little smoke, a little this, and a little playing out in the open, just, hey, we're accepting you in here. Please don't, please don't, basically don't bother us.
Right. You try to let it know, like anything that's attached to it, you guys don't have any like malice or bad wishes for it. You're not trying to hurt anything. You're accepting it's there and you have it in the shop.
Exactly.
Have you always been susceptible to different energies and, you know, the paranormal world, or has this kind of developed as you've gotten, you know, these items and stuff into the store with energies and you've become more susceptible?
I think just being an open-minded individual in general has really connected me into that world from the beginning, from when I was a kid. You know, I was always, you know, I've always been open to the fact of existence of anything. And I think that really does stem from, like, you know, my father not really understanding that I was, you know, 5 years old and 6 years old watching The Shining. But, you know, I think that really kind of opened the portal of acceptance of spirits and energies and things like that. So it's always stemmed from somewhere, but it just has grown into a fact of, like, you know, proper knowledge and understanding the things of, like, I don't mess with Ouija boards at all. I will not touch one. I won't, just because I do, I surround myself with so much energy that I feel like that's a route that I don't choose to go down. Because, you know, stirring up energy is something I don't do. I don't do, like, any kind of moon rituals. I don't do Ouija boards. I don't do things that could possibly open a negative portal into my existence.
Yeah, a lot of past guests mentioned don't mess with Ouija boards, and that just seems like you're asking for trouble once you start with that.
Yeah, I feel like it's like 50-50, and, like, you know, I feel like it's even, like, just I don't want that chance.
Exactly. Why take that chance?
Exactly.
You mentioned your house and having experiences there. Can you get into some of that? Obviously, I don't want you to, like, you know, tell your address or anything so people can stop you.
I live at 3. No, I'm kidding. no, so it stemmed from, like I said, I rented it years and years ago, and there was points where I had people staying there and the beds would shake. There was actually one point where the bed was actually being made under one of my friends that were staying over. Like, he saw the edge of the bed being the sheets being tucked under, and this stems to someone in the house, you know, at the time had a Ouija board, and they actually lit candles and used it and performed, and it spelled out the words Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. And that's why I think it never bothered me, because I was always the one who cleaned the house and organized the house and kept it straightened up. And I think that's why it really never bothered me, but everybody else was kind of a pig. So I think it was just like, hey, get up and, you know, clean your garbage up. I think that's what, cause there's a front stair, there's a butler stairs. So, I mean, it was built in the times where people did have, you know, servant quarters and things like that. So it was really kind of one of those things where, like, you know, everybody ran out and said, hey, did you feel your bed shake? And I was like, no, but everybody else was like, yes, what was that? And then obviously we're in Northeast Pennsylvania. There's no earthquakes. There's no, you know, it wasn't windy out. So it was just like, this was definitely a presence of, hey, you need to do this or do this. But like I said, mine didn't shake. So I was like, maybe it just knows that these guys are heads. I don't know if I can say that on your podcast.
That's so funny, though, because, you know, it's like them, the entity or energy, whatever you wanted to call it, like, it's still continuing on, I guess, the tasks that it would have been doing in its living life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really strange to see the things that it would do and it was super interesting. Like I said, it never bothered me, but I knew the existence of it was there. So it was actually kind of comforting, you know?
Right. Have you looked into any of, like, the history behind?
Oh yeah. So it was actually owned by a prevalent family in our area. And there was no deaths, but there's no deaths of the prominent family members recorded. So what I think was, you know, there was obviously no records of the servants in the space. So I was like, you know, obviously maybe such and such didn't die, or his wife didn't die, or his sister, any children died, but there's no record of death or existence of these servants. So I was like, I bet you, you know, that's the thing where, you know, back in those times when someone of that stature passed away, you didn't really, kind of swept it under the rug, kind of.
Yeah, it wasn't recorded at all.
Exactly. I'm just hoping there's nobody buried under my basement floor.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I guess, I mean, you have to assume moving into an old house like that, somewhere along the line, somebody died in your house, whether you can come up with, you know, evidence of that or not. It probably happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, were most of the stories happened when you had a group of people living in there, back when you rented the home, or after you took it over, after you bought it?
It was with the group of people. You know, now only me and my girlfriend live in the house, so it's...
So things are kind of calm only, now?
Yeah, she's... Once in a while, she feels... I mean, I think a couple months ago, she felt somebody, like, combing her hair. Like, I felt like they were grabbing her hair to comb it. Didn't pull it or anything. They just, you know, it just lifted up like they were going to, like, help do her hair. So that's, again, servant, which leads me to like a servant kind of situation.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something a servant would be doing. You are right there.
Yeah, but it won't help me. I don't understand why it won't help me sweep and vacuum.
Maybe you need to teach it how to do that.
Yeah,
true. It doesn't know how to use modern technology.
Exactly. I got to get it a cordless Dyson.
It would never know what to do. It's kind of interesting how all your businesses sort of tie together with this dark and creepy, unusual theme. Any other things you have going on that you'd like to mention?
So currently I have The Strange and Unusual. I have Steamy Hollows.
What exactly is Steamy Hollows?
So Steamy Hollows is a Harry Potter inspired cafe inside The Strange and Unusual. So it's basically geared towards a cafe that you would find at the castle of Hogwarts, which is really cool, which I really love. It kind of has that dark magic feel, which is kind of ties in, I guess. I also have Batty Fang, which is a salon inside the Woodlands in Wilkes-Barre. And I themed that like a Victorian home. Like you can go in, there's old wallpaper and tin ceiling and things like that. So it has the vibe of like a Victorian home, which I really like. I also have Noir, which is a new bar restaurant that I have in Scranton. That's super dark theme, you know, taxidermy on the walls and black damask wallpaper and an altar as the back bar and like sconces and things like that throughout the place. And I actually also just started a company called Horror Hub, which is basically a marketplace for anybody that sells anything, you know, odd, weird, you know, horror, macabre, anything like that, like mask makers, oddities, prop makers, things along that world. And I'm also starting a root beer company, which has nothing to do with spooky stuff, except root beer is amazing.
You definitely have a lot going on then.
Yeah, I sleep once in a while.
When you mentioned Horror Hub, so is that sort of like an eBay version for horror and spooky themed?
It's more like an Amazon for all things horror and spooky, where you don't bid on anything, but it's so all, like, say if you owned John Smith's mask makers and you've been selling on your website, but you don't get a lot of traction to your website because people aren't searching for just masks. So I wanted to create something where, you know, thousands of people are going to shop for anything related. So they would maybe if they were looking for a bundle of sage, but they came across you as our featured artist on the website as John Smith's mask. Now you're getting thousands of views on your masks where people wouldn't have, you know, potentially looked at your thing. So it's basically just like a family situation or just like a marketplace with all like-minded people.
Definitely very interesting. So like if you went there for one reason, you might stumble upon something totally different that you can't live without.
Exactly. Exactly.
And as for your new bar, Noir, is it tough opening up a bar restaurant at this time?
It really was, just because we wanted to be safe. And I actually held the lease for about 8 months before we decided to open, because we were just like, oh, you know what? Maybe COVID will end in 2 months. Maybe it'll end in 2 more months. Maybe it'll end in 2 more months. And then there was no ending in sight, honestly. And then when they said 50% capacity, we're just like, you know what? You know, we spent enough money and it was just time that people honestly wanted an experience. They wanted something to be, not that it's normal, but they wanted something to feel like they were, you know, I came from a music background, obviously, but there's no live music. So I wanted people to have an experience safely, almost like they were going to a live concert. You know, you can come in and, you know, the lights are all, you know, to a certain temperature and the music is themed to the ambiance, and you know, our drinks are bubbling over and we have smoke in them. And then the food, like we have things called soup shooters where there are two skulls and syringes where you can inject your own kimchi tomato soup into the things or dip them into the things. So it's an experience. It's something in my world, which I love, that I wanted other people to be able to accept. And we have people that are, you know, 21-year-old Scranton University suit and tie people. And we have, you know, your punk goth kids. And then we also have your 65-year-old business people that come in. And like I had the other day, we had a big party of people, and they were lawyers, dentists. They owned car dealerships. And I was like, what is going on? This is crazy to be able to like all walks of life were accepting of my place, which I really love.
It definitely sounds unique, something that this area doesn't have right now.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't. And I, you know, that's what I like to, open up things that this place, this area needs. And this, you know, I think our area is amazing. I love it. I'm never going to leave. I've been here since I was, you know, since I was born. And anybody that isn't from our area listening to your podcast, I urge you to come to our area, and experience, you know, we have everything that big cities don't. And we're just growing and growing and growing. So it's especially in the, you know, the horror and spooky vibes. You know, I think I want to be, you know, the next Salem. I think we have like the potential because of the age of our area and all the cool stuff we have, all the cemeteries we have, all the stories we have, all the age we have. It's like such a cool place. And I think people are starting to understand, like you said, you started this in October and you thought it was only going to be a Halloween thing. And now it's become, you know, we're in March right now.
Exactly. And like you mentioned, this area is big into history, it seems like. In other areas, they don't really care that much. They'll knock down a building as opposed to restoring it like we try to do.
Agreed.
And I think because of the history, that's sort of something that ties into like the creepiness of it, the backstories on everything, the little bit of legends that come along with it.
Yeah, definitely.
You have anything else you'd like to touch upon before we wrap this up?
No, I mean, just to make sure, you know, hopefully everybody accepts the weird and the occult, and not in a negative way, in a positive way.
Absolutely. That's kind of what we try to, you know, really stress here, is that all of these things are just, we don't fully know, and I don't think anybody ever will fully know about all of these things that go on. But if you're just aware of them and you accept them and you just kind of look into them even a little bit, you know, you can learn so much, both about history and just about paranormal in general.
I agree. I just always tell people, just open your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I mean, all the stories that people come to us with, every one of them might not be paranormal, but a lot of them, there's something you can't explain. There's something out there.
Yes, there definitely is, whether it's ghosts, aliens, spirits, energies, it's all there. And hopefully someday we actually get those answers, or maybe hopefully we don't.
Right. Even Bigfoot. We had a Bigfoot episode.
That's amazing. I'm definitely going to listen to it.
It was incredible.
Well, but thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for
taking...
Yeah,
thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
If you guys ever need anything weird or strange, you know where to find me.
We'll definitely Absolutely. Make a trip down to your shop soon.
Please do.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time out of your day and joining us.
You're very welcome. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Yep, have a good one.
Bye.
Be sure to like WNEP's Creepy Side of NEPA on Facebook. That is the best way to get the most current information about the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
Until next time, enjoy the creepy side of NEPA.
This has been the Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a spooky story that took place in northeastern or central Pennsylvania, send it to ghost@wnep.com for your chance to share it on an upcoming episode. We're dying to hear from you.